This is the voice of Biafra International Broadcast coming to you from Washington, D.C., bringing you matters of interest to Biafra. You are tuned to the voice of Biafra International Broadcast coming to you from Washington, D.C. You are tuned to the voice of Biafra International Broadcast, coming to you from Washington, D.C. You are tuned to the voice of Biafra International Broadcast, coming to you from Washington, D.C.
Little Spree.
You are tuned to the voice of Biafra International Broadcast, coming to you from Washington, D.C.
From the news desk, these are the headlines. Formation of Biafra State Coalition to replace Biafra Liberation Council, and the Biafra Shadow Government progressing and poised to reach out to all our people. In October 2009, a name change from Biafra Liberation Council, BLC, to Biafra State Coalition was executed by leaders and representatives of pro-Biafran organizations at home and the BGIE, the Biafra Government in Exile, in order to reflect the true function and purpose of the organization as a quote-unquote coalition, and also to differentiate it from a locally claimed and led group of the same name, Biafra Liberation Council. Biafra State Coalition, BSC, with leadership made up of broad-minded, focused, and credible people's representatives, ready to work with all the pro-Biafran organizations, has wasted no time in calling for all of us to join hands together and concentrate on the primary task of liberating our oppressed people from the stranglehold of Nigeria. BSC will still honor previous commitments initiated by the Biafra Liberation Council, including the contents and imperatives of previous press conferences and press releases. BSC continues with the unequivocal endorsement and support of the Biafra Provisional Government, which includes the Biafra Government in Exile, BGIE, and the Biafra Shadow Government, BSG, and also unequivocal endorsement and support of the Biafra Charter. One of the stated goals of BSC is to bring information and communication to our masses and to our people wherever they may be found in our homeland, in order to complement other well-known and ongoing efforts. With this, as from November 11, 2009, BLC, Biafra Liberation Council, ceases to exist. The Biafra State Coalition, BSC, will identify with all the freedom fighters in MOSAP, MASAB, MEND, Bakassi Freedom Fighters, NDVF, and BMC, who have relentlessly engaged the forces of occupation in Biafra land. BSC salutes their courage and extends a hand of comradeship to them in our shared and primary goal of actualization of our nation, Biafra. Finally, BSC calls for all Easterners to come together and fight the common enemy in order that we may liberate ourselves from our tormentors and oppressors. Fulfill our natural imperative, our God-given imperative in life. In the meantime, for their part, BSG, the Biafra Shadow Government, is progressing and is poised to reach out to all our people. The formation of BSG, in accordance with the Biafra Charter, continues at various stages in different communities until all parts of Biafra land can identify with and be represented fully by BSG. BSG, Biafra Shadow Government, is in the process of preparing an open letter to leaders and other responsible individuals and stakeholders in Biafra land. VOBI is pleased with the actions, the activities, and the progress of both BSG and BSC, Biafra Shadow Government and Biafra State Coalition, respectively, which it, VOBI, supports fully. VOBI believes that when all these pro-Biafran entities and systems and our people are working together, the actualization of Biafra will come much quicker than we had anticipated. God bless our efforts and grant us Biafra in our time. End of news.
You are tuned to the Voice of Biafra International Broadcast, coming to you from Washington, D.C.
Nezia, Rolambe, Kaldebe, Meguane Mugundabai, Ubuane Gundabai, Sinekai, Odigunaka.
You are tuned to the Voice of Biafra International Broadcast, coming to you from Washington, D.C.
This is the news analysis segment of the Voice of Biafra International, VOBI, broadcasts. You have heard the news, now the analysis. Fellow Biafrans, Nigerian politics, Nigerian elections, no value, no benefit to our people. This time around, does it not behoove us all to keep our eyes open? It is our duty. It is our duty to pay attention. Well, here comes another round of Nigeria's elections. This time it is in Anambra, quote-unquote, state. We can take this and we can take you all the way back to the origin of, quote-unquote, states in Nigeria. You know, in other parts of the world, the civilized and functioning world, that is, states are created for value and for benefit to the people. But not in Nigeria, because in Nigeria, states were originally created with one goal in mind, and that is to break up the cohesiveness of the then eastern region of Nigeria, now Biafra, and to break the unity of Igbo people. Fellow Biafrans, we did not make this up. In fact, Yakubu Gowon, the face and executor of Northern Nigeria genocidal agenda against Biafra, has already admitted this intent. Back in 1966-67, it was Gowon's Northern Putschist regime which created states for the first time in Nigeria, and with such anti-Igbo, anti-Biafra intent. Gowon has admitted that. In any case, by our own experience, the quote-unquote state structure in Nigeria has added no value and no benefit to our people. Rather, all it has done is division of our people and institution and maintenance of slave-like dependence on Nigeria. And that's precisely just like Nigeria planned it, and that's how Nigeria wanted it all along. Today, Nigeria intends to conduct state gubernatorial elections in Anambra. What do elections really mean in Nigeria? Of course, we know. Elections in Nigeria mean killing, destruction, intimidation, threatening, rigging. Elections in Nigeria mean open, public, shameless dishonesty. They mean legitimization of cheating, of fraud, and of corruption. Do we really want to be part of this? No. No way. We know that these Nigerian elections have already been rigged, and the results, with specific vote tallies, have already been set, even well before any electoral activity can hold. Pre-rigged by Nigeria. Yes, that's Nigerian-style elections. We know that even if the people came out and voted, and God forbid this, it is guaranteed that the electoral wishes of our people would never be carried out, because the government of Nigeria will still handpick quote-unquote winners and impose them on us all. Worst of all, there is nothing that we can do about it. Even worse, we are forced to go on with the foist, with the fraud, and act like the result is a legitimate regime and could be happy, unquote. What a shame. Well, here are some of the signs that it is going to be business as usual with the planned Nigerian elections. PDP, oh yes, that PDP is back with its do or die scheme, which means our people will die. Can any one of you tell us what PDP has ever done to the benefit of our people, or what PDP has ever done to bring value to our people? Tell us. Now PDP is foisting up Soludo in Anambra. Can anyone tell us exactly what Soludo has done to benefit our people? Look at Soludo's supporters, the likes of Iwuanyanwu. Yes, that Iwuanyanwu, that one. And the Igbo PDP wigs in Nigeria's so-called Senate and House. Please answer us this. What have the Igbo in the ruling PDP class done that can be counted as being of value or of benefit to our people? At a time when the Northerners, their Northern counterparts, are using the same instruments of PDP and of government to empty the public treasury and resources of the government for the sole benefit of their own people? Is the result not so obvious to any one of you? Well, we all know that the North as such boasts amenities like potable water and electricity and good communication and good roads. Add to that good railway system soon, including international airports, plus a desert fighting program. All that while our land is ravaged by erosion, buried in dirt and darkness, and being overtaken by impassable fern and forestation. If these Igbo PDP high members have no shame at all, why should we, the people, join them in their folly? Why should we play their witless game? Why should we participate in any activity that they have a hand in or that they endorse? No way. Other signs that it is business as usual with Nigerian politics include, well, did you hear Obulafo? Yeah, another Igbo man, the PDP Secretary General or something like that. Did you hear him recently announce to the world that there is no credible opposition to PDP in Nigeria? Translation, why bother at all with elections in Nigeria? PDP has already won every contest. Nobody to oppose PDP. As such, PDP will foist whomever they choose on our people, regardless. Yes, indeed, business as usual. Soludo's father became a victim, for the second time we have been informed, of the crime of kidnap for ransom, unfortunately rampant in our land today. Do you know that rather than the candidate, Soludo, focus on and tell the people ways he would deal with this terrifying crime if he was elected into office as the state governor of Anambra, what did Soludo do? He, Soludo, took advantage of his own father's unfortunate kidnap to try to promote his own political rating by angling for the sympathy of the people by attributing this dastardly crime to political motivation? Kidnapping has been going on in Anambra for a long time, and people know that. If Soludo will not address a crime which has victimized his own father for the second time, why would anyone think that he, Soludo, would address the problem at all if he was ever made the governor of the state of Anambra? Of course, it would all be quote-unquote business as usual, which means Nigeria's business as usual for Nigeria in Nigeria, which means again death to the Igbo, repression of the Igbo, and continued regression of the Igbo. Obviously, no value and no benefit to our people here. Speaking of that unspeakable kidnap for ransom crime, recall that we pointed out much earlier Peter Obi's poor judgment as the governor of Anambra when he, Peter Obi, insisted on continuing to arm the Nigerian police in his state with resources which could have been better used to improve the welfare of our people. Well, it seems now that the more arms and ammunition and equipment and vehicles Peter Obi dashes to the Nigerian police in Anambra, the more the number of crimes rise in Anambra. Today, this has earned Anambra the unfortunate title of quote-unquote kidnap capital of Nigeria. Not only that, the Nigerian police still continues to shoot and kill innocent Igbo and other Biafrans in cold blood nonetheless. And the Nigerian police still has the audacity to exhibit the victims in public display afterwards as quote-unquote criminals. Even when our people know and declare the innocence of such victims of the Nigerian police, we are still powerless to do anything about it. And Peter Obi and the other governors of Nigerian states in Igbo land, Biafra land, will not do anything about it. So, Peter Obi continues to arm the Nigerian police as a matter of his personal policy, gratuitously, that means unnecessarily, spending scarce people's resources on a non-performing Nigerian police, which is the responsibility of the so-called federal government of Nigeria in the first place, a police institution whose only trophy is the bleeding and lifeless body of an Igbo or of a Biafran carelessly tossed out on our dirty streets. Peter Obi never learned from his issuing the shoot-on-sight order to the very willing Nigerian police, resulting in the slaughter of many of our people on the streets of Anambra at the beginning of his stint as the governor of Anambra. Well, fellow Biafrans, that's why we can correctly conclude, definitely no benefit and no value to our people. Nothing about Nigeria, nothing with Nigeria, nothing under Nigeria can or has produced any benefit or any value to our people. The point of all this is the accurate declaration and understanding that as long as Nigeria reigns over our people, we get no benefit and we get no value. The politics of Nigeria deliberately allows no benefit and no value to our people. Why should we then participate in it? Why should we continue to participate in it? In any case, even if we should, and heavens forbid that we should, such politics is corrupt and rigged in such a way as to hurt our people and to hurt us really bad. So, who in his or her right mind joins a system whose sole intent is to permanently corrupt, to maim, and to eliminate him or her? Whoever would commit such an act is sinfully immoral. Therefore, we will not participate in Nigeria's Anambra state elections or any other Nigeria's elections for that matter. Today, we have the Biafra Shadow Government, or BSG, in our homeland. This is where the attention and efforts of our people are directed towards. we have the Biafra State Coalition, or BSC, being a league of all organizations dedicated to Biafra actualization. These Biafran institutions and systems mean wealth for our people, because only Biafra can cure and restore that which Nigeria has injured and destroyed in us. In the final analysis, our people want Biafra, not Nigeria. Biafra is the only desire of our people. It's as simple as that. Biafra is really the answer. Biafra alive, because it is God who makes it so. That's the news analysis for the week. Thank you. God bless and keep Biafra and you until our next broadcast. Voice of Biafra International, VOBI, broadcast now continues in Igbo, one of the Biafran languages. Ndị Biafra, ekeleo, anya ekeleonu. Nke a wakuko nke anyị na-akpọ News Analysis, o si na Voice of Biafra International, VOBI Radio, nke dị na Washington, D.C. na ala America na-abịara unu n'abalị ya. Anyị si na uru adịghịrị anyị na politics Nigeria. O nweghị uru dịrị anyị na politics Nigeria. O nweghị ụbọchị election ndị Nigeria wetara ala anyị ihe dị mma. Mba, o nweghị ihe ọma ga-esi na election ndị Nigeria na-eme na Anambra State pụta. Mba, maka nke a, anyị ga-agbachi ha nkịtị. Leenụ na anya onye ndị ọjọọ ndị PDP ahụ ga-eji ike tinye ka ọ wụrụ gọvanọ ndị Anambra. Ọkwa Soludo, gwanụ na anyị, o nwere ihe dị mma ma ọ wụ ihe bara uru Soludo merela ndị Igbo ma ọ wụ ndị Biafra? Mba, leenụ na anya, mgbe ndị na-akwado Soludo wụ ndị dịka Maurice Iwu Anyanwụ, unu ga-adị mbụ mara na o nweghị uru ga-apụtara anyị na ya. Mgbe ọ wụ PDP ka a na-ekwu okwu ya n'oge election ma ọ wụ n'ihe ọzọ, gị amaranụ na ọ wụ njọ na arụ na gburugburu wụ ihe dị n'ime ya. Marakwa na ọnwụ mmegbu na mmerụ ahụ na ọnwụ ndị Igbo ka a na-ekwu okwu ya mgbe ọwụla na-ekwu okwu PDP. Ọrụgodu na efula efu dịka ogbula afọ wụ onye odeakwụkwọ ukwu ndị PDP. O nweghị ihe baara ndị Igbo, ndị Biafra uru ga-esi na ya pụta. Ma ọ wụdị Peter Obi, gọvanọ ndị Anambra ugbu a, o nweghị nụ ihe baara ndị Igbo, ndị Biafra uru site n'ọchịchị Peter Obi na Anambra? Ọkwa otu Peter Obi a na-eji ego na ngwa na ihe ndị Anambra were na-enye ndị polisi Naijiria dash, ma ya nyechakwa ihe dị otu a, imebi iwu na arụ dịka kidnap akarịa na Anambra taa. Ndị polisi Naijiria ndị enyi Peter Obi ka na-agbagbu ụmụ Igbo taa na o nweghị ihe ọjọọ ụmụ Igbo mere. Ka ha wụ ndị polisi siri gbagbuo ụmụ Igbo mgbe Peter Obi nyere ha order shoot on site na mbido ọchịchị gọvanọ Obi na Anambra. Anyị nakwa amụta ihe, o nweghị uru ọ barara anyị na anyị na-eso na politics ndị Naijiria. Mba, ma ọ wụ uru ma ọ wụ ihe ọma site na ya pụta nke ahụ emebe mbụ. Nke a mere anyị ji agwa unu, Naijiria mewanụ politics na election ya na Anambra, ma ọ wụ n'ebe ọwụla ọ sọrọ ya, nke ahụ agbasaghị ya anyị. Anyị agaghị eso ha, anyị agaghị eme election ha, anyị agaghị atụpụrụ ha ọnụ. Ihe anyị ma wụ Biafra, ọ wụghị Naijiria. Mba, ndị Biafra, marakwanụ na ugbu a anyị nwere Biafra Shadow Government, BST, n'ụlọ. Nweekwa Biafra State Coalition, BSC, nke wụ ebe ndị otu dum chọrọ Biafra ga na-eduga ndị na-anọchitere ha anya maka ịrụ ọrụ Biafra. Ka anyị niile kwado ha wụ BSG, Biafra Shadow Government, na BSC, Biafra State Coalition. Naanị Biafra ga-emezi anyị, mezie ndụ anyị. Kwadonu sọsọ Biafra n'ihe dum. Kwadonu Biafra n'ihe ọwụla gbasara Biafra. Biafra bụrụkwa ka Chineke siri kee gị. Biafra ndụ gị, Biafra ndụ gị, Biafra ndụ gị na ndụ anyị kwa. Maka Chineke nọnyerela gị na ịgwara anyị. Ndewonu. Voice of Biafra International, VOBI, broadcast continues. Thank you.
You are tuned to the Voice of Biafra International Broadcast, coming to you from Washington, D.C.
Here is the commentary, read by Olu Ibochigewe. Today's commentary is titled, Are They Waking Up at Last, or What? When we read in Vanguard newspaper of November 14, 2009, a statement credited to the President General of Ohanaeze Ndị Igbo, Chief Ralph Ouechue, quote, Igbo marginalization can break up Nigeria, end quote. We couldn't help but experience a fleeting moment of satisfaction and even relief. At last, an Igbo leader is stepping up to the plate. At long last, an Igbo leader is showing some spine and maybe even balls. Maybe an Igbo leader will stand up and speak truth to corrupt power. Maybe Igbo leaders will rise from their moral deathbeds. Maybe, just maybe. The statement by Chief Ouechue is really not such an earth-shattering revelation or even such a big deal, especially as everyone knows that Nigeria is already dead and just waiting to be buried. And especially as Chief Ouechue is still talking about building the nation called Nigeria, whatever that means. However, the mere fact that Chief Ouechue pointed at just a tiny fraction of the horrific bad faith which the Sokoto Caliphate, the Hausa Fulani Yoruba oligarchy, have displayed toward the Igbo in the half a century existence of so-called independent Nigeria is worthy of note. That such a tiny and non-threatening statement evoked even the slightest notice by anyone tells us a lot about the depth of despair the Igbo have suffered in Nigeria. Can you imagine what would have happened if the cardinals and bishops in all our churches, world-acclaimed international writers and intellectuals, top military brass, serving and retired, international civil servants, world-renowned inventors and scientists, top journalists, actors and musicians from Igboland in particular, and the Eastern region in general, all have, with one voice, been speaking up forcefully in various international forums against the persecution and the enslavement of the Igbo and other people of Eastern region. Can you just imagine how the world would have rallied to our defense and support? When you talk about the evil that the Sokoto Caliphate and the Hausa Fulani Yoruba oligarchy, hiding under the umbrella of satanic One Nigeria, have perpetrated on the Igbo and their brothers, it is clear that Chief Ouechue did not even scratch the surface of that evil. We will just scratch the surface for you. The fight for Nigerian independence was carried almost entirely by the Igbo and other people of Eastern region and a handful of Lagosians like Herbert Macaulay. The NCNC, the only truly national political party that carried the fight for independence, was led for 1 year by Herbert Macaulay, who died the same year in 1945. Thereafter, Nnamdi Azikiwe was elected the leader of the NCNC, and with other people of Eastern region, including Professor Eyo Ita, Alvin Ikoku, Nwaforizu, Emai Opara, Dennis Osadebe, Akano Ibiam, Anthony Enahoro, and others, forced the British to grant self-government to the three regions of Nigeria, East, West, and North, and eventually independence to the country. While the East and West accepted self-government but insisted on full independence, The North insisted on remaining a colony of the British government. The North delayed independence for everyone for another 3 years, as Azikiwe and the NCNC begged the North to accept freedom for their people. Shameless people. By the time the Northern Tudorists accepted to be part of independent Nigeria, they insisted on having half of the seats in the Federal House of Representatives. Azikiwe and the NCNC acquiesced. Then, they insisted on producing the executive prime minister and gave Nnamdi Azikiwe, the holder of bachelor's degree from Lincoln University in the United States and the master's degree from University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League school in the United States. They gave him the ceremonial office of governor general without any powers. Azikiwe acquiesced. Thus, throughout the whole of West, East, Central, and Southern Africa, the only person who led his people to independence and freedom, but was denied the opportunity to head the government at independence, was Dr. Nnamdi Azikiwe, who, even until his death, was continually denied that opportunity to put his ideas into concrete reality. Rather, Alhaji Malam Abubakar Tafawa Balewa, a grade 2 teacher, and one of those who opposed independence, was handpicked by Alhaji Ahmadu Bello, the Sadana of Sokoto, and sent to Lagos to become the Prime Minister of Nigeria. Now, judge for yourself what damage he and his Sokoto Caliphate rulers did to Nigeria. Before independence in 1946, the British colonial government had completed plans to establish apartheid system in just northern Nigeria, just as they had in South Africa. They had segregated certain parts of Jos for whites only and started building schools for whites only. It was Nnamdi Azikiwe who organized huge protest movements and forced the British to abandon the establishment of apartheid system in northern Nigeria. How did the North pay Azikiwe back? In all the efforts to organize a meaningful census in Nigeria, the North has always inflated its population to dizzying figures, thereby specializing in what will euphemistically be called, quote, fuzzy math. The West soon joined the North in doing the same thing. That practice has continued till today and has resulted in census figures that indicate that Kano alone has more people and therefore more local governments than all of Igbo land. As laughable as this is to any sane man or woman, it is still the official census figure of Nigeria today. The Igbo acquiesced. In 1964, the Premier of Eastern Region, Dr. Emayo Okpara, argued that revenue allocation should be on the basis of derivation. That is, that the people from whose land the revenue is generated should be allowed and allocated the revenue from their land. The government of Western Nigeria joined the government of Northern Nigeria in opposing this policy and the return to the way revenue had always been allocated when groundnut and tin were king in the North and cocoa was king in the West. The West and the North then insisted on landmass and fake population as criteria for revenue allocation. The East was defeated. Baby killer Yakubu Gowon, working for the Sokoto Caliphate and the Hausa Fulani Yoruba oligarchy, cut off oil-bearing Igbo communities in southern Igbo land and merged them with other ethnic groups. Then, the evil government of Nigeria commenced pressuring them to deny their Igbo identity. It bribed their leaders, cajoled and even threatened them. Subcommunities have acquiesced, denied their Igbo identity, and started bastardizing their names and the names of their communities. Baby killer Yakubu Gowon even confessed that the reason why he created states in 1967 was to subvert the identity of the Igbo and undermine the unity of the people of the Eastern region. Now, we ask you, did he succeed? In 1965, the Sokoto Caliphate and the Nigerian federal government of Malam Abubakar Tafawa Balewa subverted the Yoruba and made them engage in an internecine war in which they slaughtered themselves in large numbers and burnt down whole communities in what they called Operation Weti. The Caliphate had also imprisoned Chief Awolowo, the leader of the Yoruba, and thrown Yoruba land into anarchy. The Igbo were horrified. Then, the Premier of Eastern Region, Dr. Emma Yobara, sent help to rescue the West from the Caliphate. Mazi Okonu, an Igbo man, was broadcasting the authentic results of the Western Region election from under the table in Awolowo's house as the Hausa Fulani and their ally, S.L. Akintola, were announcing fake results, slaughtering Yoruba men and women, and destroying Yoruba land. This eventually led to the coup of January 15, 1966, whose goal was to release Awolowo from prison and install him Prime Minister of Nigeria. The Yoruba joined the Hausa Fulani in dubbing it an Igbo coup, though Major Adewale Ademoiga, a full-blooded Yoruba officer, confessed that he was one of the five majors who planned and executed the coup, and that their goal was to release Awolowo from Calabar prison and install him as the Prime Minister of Nigeria. Ojukwu released Awolowo from Calabar prison. On getting home, Awolowo declared his support for the Abri agreement, one of whose clauses was that northern soldiers occupying Western region must return to their homeland in northern Nigeria. Awolowo then issued this famous statement, quote, "If the Eastern region is allowed by acts of omission or commission to secede from or opt out of Nigeria, then the Western region and Lagos must also stay out of the Federation," end quote. Northern Nigeria soldiers refused to leave Western Nigeria. Awolowo, who was saved by the Igbo, formed alliance with the Hausa Fulani, who had been killing his people and occupying their land, and in one of the most dastardly acts in history, urged his Yoruba people to join the Hausa Fulani in slaughtering thousands of Igbo and other people of Eastern region living in Western Nigeria. In 1983, the Sokoto Caliphate and the Hausa Fulani Yoruba oligarchy organized a coup to topple the government of Shehu Shagari. Umaru Diko, Minister of Transport in Shagari's government, later revealed that the only reason they planned and executed the coup was to make sure that Alex Ekwueme, then Vice President of Nigeria, will not become the President of Nigeria after the termination of Shehu Shagari's second term as president. Buhari and the Sokoto Caliphate dumped Ekwueme in Kirikiri prison, Lagos, and sent Shehu Shagari to his home in Shagari village, Sokoto. When Ibrahim Babangida the Snake annulled the election of Abiola as president of Nigeria, Ndi Igbo were in the forefront of fighting for the restoration of Abiola's mandate. When Abiola thought that he had finally concluded his secret treaty with the Caliphate and the Hausa Fulani, he immediately told Ndi Igbo that he did not need the Igbo to be president of Nigeria. The Igbo licked their wounds and shut their mouths. When the Hausa Fulani and other northerners fell on the Igbo and slaughtered 100,000 Igbo and other Easterners living in northern Nigeria between May and October 1966, what did the Yoruba do? They sent Yoruba Obas to tour northern Nigeria and thank the northern emirs for not killing the Yoruba when they were slaughtering the Igbo and their kin from the eastern region. There are literally scores of examples of bad faith, treachery, and cowardly exploitation of the Igbo and other Easterners by the Hausa, Fulani, and Yoruba. Anyone with common sense, not high sense, should know never ever to trust the Hausa, Fulani, and the Yoruba in discussions, in negotiations, in treaties. Never ever trust their public declaration and pledges of loyalty. Once the chips are down, they will sell you down the river. The Igbo and their kin in Eastern region must realize that the only agenda of the Hausa, Fulani, Yoruba is to dominate you, exploit and use your resources for their benefit, and enslave all you people of Eastern region Biafra. The only survival strategy for the Igbo and their kin in Eastern region is to fight back aggressively, to push back as fiercely as ever against this evil plan. Unless you push back ever so aggressively, then you all will be enslaved. A bully responds to nothing other than aggressive counterattack. You have been complaining about resource control. We ask you just one question. If this oil and gas were to be located in Sokoto, Katsina, Kano, or Maiduguri, all of you from Eastern region will be begging for the issuance of visa from Arewa country to travel to Kano, to Jos, to Maiduguri, to Katsina, to Bauchi, and even to Makurdi. Ndị Igbo, onye mara asụ ya sụọ n'odo, onye amaghị asụ ya sụọ n'ala. May God bless the smart people of Biafra and the sovereign independent state of Biafra.
Voice of Biafra International Broadcast, coming to you from Washington, D.C., bringing to you matters of interest to Biafra. Thank you for listening to our broadcast. God bless Biafra and you until our next broadcast. Thank you. Good night.